I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a fascinating show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking primarily about reality creation, three different types of reality creation. And before we get into that, I'd like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. Now, interesting, when I was doing preparation for tonight's show, and talking about reality creation, a couple of thoughts came to my mind, and related to reality creation, I'm going to kind of talk about the virtual reality inside of the virtual reality, and I'm going to attempt to give my explanation about how that works. And you might, if you're new to ET Yoga, you might want to grab a pencil and paper to jot down some of the places that I suggest to go to get further information and research concerning some of the points I might be making in tonight's program. At least I get that feedback from a lot of listeners that I do cover a lot of ground usually in an hour, and as things move along, you might want to make some notes. Now, about this virtual reality, inside the virtual reality, it's what I call the fake reality. Fake, to my definition, is sort of like not the natural, not necessarily the true, but with a, kind of a different spin on it, sometimes a fear-based spin. And I guess maybe a good example of that would be, let's take food as an example. What about fake food? How do you feel about metals in your cornflakes? How do you feel about GMO food? To my way of thinking, GMO food is like fake food. Plants that are grown to be aluminum resistant because there's lots of barium and aluminum being sprayed in the skies, and it's virtually wiping out a lot of natural foods, to me is a fake food. Not only is it not beneficial for us, it's actually harmful. But it's promoted in our society. And last I heard, about 70 to 90% of the basic crops grown in the United States are GMO'd. So, you know, this is my idea of fake. If we talk about water, well, I love to go up in the mountains and draw my own fresh spring water. But what I call fake water is water that's got toxic waste in it, which is commonly called fluoride. So that's kind of giving you an idea as to what I kind of think is fake and what I see in our society through a lot of reality creation that's being manipulated is basically a virtual reality program. We've got fake history. I mean, there have been finds like the one over in Romania, in Buzău, Romania, where there's a holographic history of the Earth been discovered, not proclaimed to the public, although you can research that at Transylvania sunrise or Transylvania moonrise and find out lots about it. Two books have been written on the subject. Apparently, a Hall of Records has been discovered at the Giza Plateau underneath the Sphinx. Again, not made public, but to my way of thinking, what we really have been taught in our society is a fake history. From that information that's been found, lots that's been discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, basically what we're seeing is about 90% of our supposed history is basically fabricated, and that a lot of the myths turn out to be true. A lot of really significant historical figures, we don't even know their names or that they ever existed. In fact, as a species, our entire history, our entire extraterrestrial heritage has been basically wiped clean. And after the fall of Atlantis, basically what we have is even a loss of memory that we even have a higher self. All this has been virtually wiped from our memory to create a certain frequency and a certain virtual or reality, or what I call fake reality. We've got fake all over the place. We've got fake politics with basically a one-party system that's given the illusion of a two-party system, so there's the illusion of choice. We've got things like fake economics. We've got false flags. We've got every time you turn around, we've got fake news. It's no wonder that I get pressed. More and more people are not impressed with the evening news and are turning away from mainstream media because a lot of it's fabricated. Everywhere we look around, we're finding fake ideas and fake products, even what I call fake in the medical sense. We've got a few diseases that are the big money makers for the medical establishment, and even if the cures are available, as long as most of the people don't know about it, it just keeps rolling along. We've got stuff like, not to single out McDonald's, but I saw that experiment that somebody tried once about keeping their food for long periods of time and see if it decayed. Well, turns out it doesn't. I kept French fries for over 2 years. They looked like the day I bought them. To me, that's fake food. Is that nutrition? I mean, food that doesn't break down, is that nutrition? I call it fake food. So anyway, that's my definition of fake. And to me, that's not something that I would want to promote to young kids, especially. And when we look around and we see that our educational system, we have a concept about economics, but if we really look at economics, basically we've got, in my opinion, like a fake economics. The bailouts that happened, I guess, in 2008, I mean, if they were really interested in helping out the people, I guess we could have paid off everybody's debt in the United States with that money instead of creating a similar situation today that we had 8 years ago. We've got everything under the sun that's, in my opinion at least, and I guess I'm welcome to that, is this kind of virtual reality inside of a virtual reality. And even what I call, in the spiritual sense, we have a spiritual fake in terms of a religious concept that we need an intermediary between us and our higher selves, or us and God, and that somehow we were born in sin. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't buy that one. Last I checked, you don't need an intermediary between you and your higher self, or you and your whatever concept you have in your mind about gods, or a God, or a prime creator, or all that is, whatever your concept may be there. Do you need an intermediary? I don't believe so. Nor do I believe that I need to have somebody sprinkle supposed holy water on me to indoctrinate me into their fear-based system. To me, the whole concept of a baptism is a spiritual one. And the spiritual concept of a baptism is when you become aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and you have the ability to attain them. That is the whole concept of a baptism, and that is also called in spiritual terminology the planting of the seed, because once that happens, the seed grows at the rate it grows. So we're surrounded, in my opinion, with, you know, virtually fake or unnatural left, right, and center, from the food and water that we drink to many of the topics that are supposedly being taught as being true, but in point of fact, not. And best I've heard that there's about only 6% of the known information on the planet is actually made available to the public. And much of it is kind of like there's been created a dependency on certain things like oil and gas instead of free energy. We've got the dog and pony show that they call the space program, but really there's another space program that's more highly advanced but unknown to the public. Of course, these are all, let's say, theories for some people, same like the theory about extraterrestrials. Well, of course, this is ET yoga, so I guess, I kind of think that maybe God didn't create 100 million galaxies 100 million light years away from us just so we could arrive there and find that there's nobody home. Anyway, bottom line here is reality, fake reality. How does this fit into the concept of a reality inside of reality? Well, the latest quantum physics experts have come up with the concept that the whole universe is holographic, and that it also, being holographic, it also is a based in consciousness, and that the language of interpretation is belief, and that this whole holographic universe functions much the same as a computer program, a virtual reality computer program. And they can pretty much run their simulations based on that model, and they're fairly accurate. So let's assume then that the entire universe is a holographic projection, or let's put it this way, a projection in the mind of Prime Creator, God, or as I say, whatever concept you'd like to use for that to define the infinite, because as Swami Satchidananda used to say, as many minds as many gods, because there's no way that you can define the infinite. So there aren't any words to really define it. You can call it a certain label. And in this regard, we are functioning inside this hologram. Now, according to Bashar Sassani, for those who are not familiar with Bashar, his website's www.bashar.org. He's a Sassani channeled by Daryl Anka. And according to his information, which I concur with, that there's only really two objective facts in the universe. One, that we have consciousness, and second, that the universe was created from unconditional love. Outside of that, everything else is pretty much subjective, basically even including our personalities. You can even call it a fake personality if you like, because our personalities are basically an artificial construct. They are. It's a really a mechanism for our higher selves to experience lower density dimensions. So it's kind of like our personalities would be more equated if we were into snorkel diving, let's say, as to all the equipment that you use to go down into the water to experience the depths of the ocean or whatever body of water you happen to be exploring. And apparatus, it would be comparable to our artificial construct, our personalities. And from what I can understand with respect to brainwaves, our personality structure is usually in the alpha range with respect to brainwaves. And I've also been told that there's actually some subliminals on television that are actually more subtle than our personality at the alpha level. At any rate, again, television is another form of reality creation of sorts because of the concept that thought creates and how important beliefs are in the entire world that we're a part of. Now, I'm going to make the point that because of the idea of a virtual reality that we live in, or a holographic universe, and then this fake reality inside of it, from my perspective, there are like three levels of what I call reality creation. First is the beliefs and the definitions and the intentions that we have and our emotions, and a lot of this we have downloaded since childhood. And second is the process of putting positive emotional spin on outer circumstances. And the third level is intentional conscious manifestation of circumstances. And I'm going to go into detail concerning all of these methods, but first I want to place this in the context of what reality is. Reality is the experience, period. There is no quote-unquote objective reality per se. There is the creation of a consensus reality. And that's some rather vague general idea about what's going on that most people buy into. Now, from my point of view, this general consensus is rapidly changing for a lot of people. And the more true information that comes to light makes more and more people aware of the fear being promoted on the planet and the powerless feeling that this generates. And thus, more people are learning to minimize or delete fear from their lives and learning new ways to become more self-empowered. And clearly, the old methods of doing things and creating outer reality is not working. And instead of, let's call this, action-based methods to attain goals, we're having to learn what I would call emotional-based methods to align ourselves with the flow. And that flow is with universal energy and with our excitement and with our passion. And this doesn't eliminate action from the process. It just, in my way of thinking, changes the starting point. And every individual is a self-aware, self-reflective, free will entity and a holographic representation of the infinite creation. And every individual is always as powerful as they need to be to create whatever reality they desire without having to hurt anyone else or themselves or in order to get it. Now, back to this point number one with the first of the three methods of reality creation about our beliefs. Okay, so if we're living in a virtual reality and it's based on what we believe, I've always equated this to the placebo effect, which most people are familiar with, where seemingly sugar pills do things that the real pill does. And people understand the concept that because people believe it, it works. Unfortunately, people don't make the connection that this same concept is true in every area of our life. It's not just in the medical profession or in the medical field. It's the placebo effect, actually, or what you believe, is the major component in everything. And, of course, the concept that we use on ET Yoga is that your beliefs, emotions, intentions, definitions are a perfect reflection of what you experience in the outer world. That's a perfect reflection. Now, you can take an idea such as that, oh, your thoughts and beliefs, they don't have any effect on your outer world, and if that's your belief, then all beliefs are equally valid, and great, go on with that. But from my point of view, that's not so. It's kind of like saying one person says the world's round, another says the world's flat. Well, if you believe it's flat, fine. You just have a more limited experience of all that is, but it's still valid and true for you. So in this point of view, when I look at the whole concept around belief, it's very important to know what you believe, because when we grow up as young people, from birth to probably, I don't know, there's an exact age, but let's say first six, seven years of life, we're basically downloading beliefs from our initial caregivers. And over the course of time, if you really study this, you'll see this coming out in your own personal beliefs and behaviors as adults. And one of the responsibilities, as I see it as an adult perspective, and part of the growing process, is to thank our initial caregivers for all those great things that they gave to us in this area of belief, but also to learn to eliminate those ideas or beliefs that no longer serve us. So this is one of the processes of maturation, let's say. And the ideas that are represented by a belief are reflected perfectly in our outer experience. In fact, this whole concept relates to the law of attraction, which is what you put out is what you get back. Well, a lot of people don't quite get that. So I say it another way, that you have to be a frequency match for what you experience. So this is another way of saying thought creates, because it does. Because you can't experience what you don't already have a belief about or a definition about. And your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, this is what attracts you and makes you a frequency match for what it is you're experiencing in your outer reality. And it so turns out that there's a neural center in the heart area that's been shown to be 5,000 times stronger than the brain waves. So we constantly emit emotional energy from the heart center that actually interfaces with the morphogenetic field and creates our version of reality. And that which you do not vibrate or resonate with, you cannot experience. That's how that process works. And thus, it's the first mode of that I call of reality creation, because similar to a computer that has been programmed to with certain information, you can go through and change certain aspects of your programming. And we're not going to go into techniques about that in tonight's show, because it's going to take up too much time. But suffice to say that, yes, reprogramming old beliefs, or if you're experiencing something in your outer world that you wish to change, the idea is to change the inner aspect first. And the whole idea of beliefs forming the basis for what we experience also connects with the idea of taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience, because it is, in fact, your point of power. Because if you're the one that's created your outer experience, then you have the power to change it, and you have the power to make adjustments to the program. And this is a very important point. And it also helps you to free up yourself from the past, because if you realize that you're actually a co-creator of your experience, that there is nobody to blame, not even yourself. You're not to blame either. You have responsibility, which doesn't mean you're to blame. It means you have 100% responsibility, meaning you have the ability to respond or the ability to react. And it's not that anybody's to blame. Blame falls into the category of victimhood, to my way of thinking. So when you start blaming, the first thing when you start to blame somebody for something that they've done to you, that all it does is create you as a victim. So this is one of the key signs that you're in a state of victimhood. Blame, complaint, justification. Those are the three big signposts that you're in a victimhood state. So when we're talking about reality creation, and we're talking about taking 100% responsibility, that means for everything. And it doesn't mean just for the good things. So it's like if you're the one that's 100% responsible for your experience in this reality, then it frees you up from the past, because now you're not blaming and holding on to those old grudges from way before. Because ironically, that which you blame others for, you're the one that basically has co-created it. An interesting point, and an interesting point of the maturation process. Now, also related to this whole idea, of course, is what a lot of people now call the law of attraction. And clearly, that's all about a universal law. And what you put out is what you get back. And when you create a certain frequency, you have to get that frequency and return it. Eventually, it will become part of your experience. Now, the moving on to what I call the second phase of reality creation is all about positive spin. And according to Bashar, one of the primary functions of the rational mind is to put positive spin on outer circumstances. And why would we want to do that? Well, because of the fact that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. So it doesn't make any sense
to put negative spin on outer circumstances. Because the way the formula works is that when you have a positive emotional definition and a positive emotional feeling about an outer circumstance, the result will be a positive emotional experience. But when you put negative spin on the outer circumstance, then the result's going to be a negative experience. And I think it's really important that people differentiate here the whole idea of positive spin from positive mental attitude. They are connected, but they're not the same. And I'll try to articulate a little bit about that. Let's say that there's a circumstance that happens and a good positive mental attitude, let's say, might see the glass as half full instead of half empty. You know, it's kind of known as positive attitude. What we're talking about here with positive spin is actually creating a new experience, not just a different take on the old same experience. For example, I use the analogy of someone that's going to work or catching a train. They're on time, but the train leaves early, causing them to miss the train and be late for work. They can throw a negative spin on that, blame and complaint, create themselves a victim, etc. Another take on that might be someone who comes by in a similar circumstance. They miss the train, but they throw a positive spin on it. They don't know what good could possibly come from that, but they're just going to throw a positive spin on it. Oh, lo and behold, another train shows up and somebody gets off you haven't seen in 20 years. You make a connection, get a job offer, et cetera, et cetera. That's creating a whole new experience, and that is what we're talking about here with reality creation. Now, I know there's people, no doubt, out there that think, oh, that's just poppycock. Well, I've been doing this radio show for a few years now, and I've challenged the audience on many occasions, and yet to have one person that's actually done the work on this tell me that it doesn't work. Well, first off, I know it does work because I've been doing it for a lot of years. And in fact, the whole idea of how powerful positive spin is, to me, it's equally as powerful as to the secret, okay, the secret that came out, which was basically about the law of attraction. Well, the power of positive spin is equally as important, because positive spin is just huge, because you virtually can changing your experience of reality. And I challenge people to do this. Like, next time you come across a situation that you would view to be negative, write it down in a book what the situation is. Take a few minutes, 5 minutes, put emotional spin on it, and even if you don't see any possible way something good can come from it, say, well, you know, I don't see any possible way something good can come from this, but I'm going to be open-minded and wait and see, and I'm going to try and, great, I can't wait to find out what positive thing can come from this. And keep and log the date and then see how it turns out. I mean, I do this, I don't know, multiple times every week, works every single time, and it's not just me. This is one of Bashar's concepts, one of the great ideas that he's passed down to us. And what you realize finally is when you get it, it blows your mind because it works. And the whole idea here is that some things happen in shorter periods, and some take more time to sort themselves out, depending on the issue. But if you log it and keep track of it, and you start to get the gist of this concept, I mean, you're going to be ecstatic, because it's an amazing concept. That's what I call the second part of reality creation, and it's. I call it a real mind blower, and the reason that positive spin basically works is this around this connection with this whole idea that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. I mean, and it just like there's a coin has to have two sides. There's a positive in any situation, and this is the way to find it. And the way the universe operates. It connects you with those holographic inserts, let's say, that would tend to be positive if you're placing the positive spin. And conversely, the negative aspects with negative spin. Don't see any percentage in throwing negative spin. I mean, years ago I used to do I Ching, And for those that are not familiar with I Ching, basically it's a Chinese method of getting one of 64 hexagrams, which represent an abstract concept. And I used to think that some of the I Ching hexagrams were positive, some were not so positive. Now I think they're all positive because there can be a positive experience from any of them. Interesting point of view. I kind of call that one stacking the deck of life in your favor. It's called get good at putting on positive spin. It just will amazingly change your life. My recommendation, try it, see if you like it. And by the way, I'd love to hear about it. So if you're looking to have some amazing experiences along those lines and it's it clicks for you, you finally get it, email me, paperfungo@yahoo.ca, or go to my website at etyoga.com, hit the contact button, and away you go. Let me know that it's working for you, because I just love to hear about it. These are my favorite parts of doing ET Yoga, hearing from people that are having success with positive spin. Now, at the first top part of the show, I talked about how 100% responsibility plays into things, how it connects with the law of attraction, and that's interesting to note that this whole idea of positive spin is very much connected, let's say, with, you know, positive belief. No question about that. Now, when we start to talk about third aspect of what I would call doing intentional manifestation, I think there's different levels of that, and certainly one of those levels is just intending. And intention is very powerful. So when you're intending a certain outcome, then if you're strong enough, you can basically just create instant manifestation from just pure intention. Now, the Pleiadians have actually offered some ideas concerning some internal intentions that you can use. They will say things like, I effortlessly intend to be successful in all things I do. I effortlessly intend to be healthy. I effortlessly intend to give love and receive love in all things I do. I effortlessly intend to have full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. That's the slogan that I usually use near the ends of the ET Yoga programs. Effortlessly intending things is a very powerful tool and gets you thinking definitely along those lines. Now, about receiving the reality you desire, I'm going to go into some mechanics here about that, because a radio does not have to create the program it wishes to hear. It merely needs to receive an already existing program, and it makes itself an effective receiver by matching frequencies, synchronizing frequencies, and creating a similarity of vibration with the program it wishes to receive. And likewise, you don't have to create the reality you desire, because it already exists among the infinite probable realities, all simultaneously coexisting. All you have to do is make yourself an effective antenna so that by similarity of vibrations, you can receive that reality. And this makes it physiologically real for you. Remember, you must be a frequency match for what you experience. Your beliefs create a frequency match in order to receive the reality you desire. And you first have to be that vibration. Then you automatically receive that reality. And you must see the reality you prefer as now existing in the moment. Then it will become tangible in your outer reality. A radio uses a channel tuner to select and receive any one particular station out of all the programs that are simultaneously existing all around the radio. Likewise,
there are an infinite probable realities that we could receive and experience at any moment. How do we select which one of these we wish to pull to the foreground to experience? Well, we select and receive specific versions of reality by our beliefs. We select and receive by our 100% trust in what we know is so. And here's the physics of how this works. Each belief gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies. And these frequencies then attract, by sympathetic resonance, those holograms vibrating on the same frequencies. That is out of the background universal matrix of infinite possible holograms, which is all of the infinite possible versions of reality that are simultaneously existing. And those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequencies as the frequencies of your belief get pulled out from this matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experiences that you then sense as quote-unquote real, that you sense as objective reality. So each belief is a unique set of frequencies, which is a template that determines which holograms you attract into your experience. What we believe and totally trust to be so sets up the alignment from which we receive that particular version of reality. This trust, or knowing, is the mechanism by which creation takes place. Without believing, we would create no reality and be non-existent. At every given moment, we're always believing something. All possible versions of your reality already exist. In fact, they're all here, right under your nose, right here, and right now. However, most of these versions are invisible to us, and they become visible only when we tune ourselves via our beliefs to be compatible and resonant with the frequencies of any one particular version. Furthermore, since time is only a logical or a local illusion that does not really exist, everything you ever hope to become or attain, you have already become and attained. If it's invisible to you, that's only because your beliefs do not yet have you vibrating in a manner that is synchronous of these versions. You contain it all possible versions, and all these are here and now versions, and they're in various states of visible or invisible for you depending on your beliefs relative to any particular version. You see and objectively experience the version that, or the versions that are synchronized with how you're vibrating, and it's your beliefs at any given moment that determine how you are vibrating. In a hologram, each part of the hologram contains the information for the whole hologram. The universe is structured holographically, and you are holographic. Each possible version of your reality is also holographic. You contain within you all possible versions of reality. All holograms or versions of reality are contained within you. From all these infinite possibilities, you select the version to be experienced with your beliefs, imagination, and feelings. Your imagination is the archive of all your possible holograms. By the way, these new technologies are robbing children, like these new electronic technologies, and adults, basically, of the time that should be used utilizing the imagination. That's why Bashar sometimes says, I, Magi, a nation of magicians, but you need to know it and spend time there. And it does this by keeping you focused on the outer world, and when you're focused on the outer world, you're in beta wave brainwaves. So from this archive or possibilities, the version that you imagine, where you either believe or focus your imagination on, is your currently selected version of reality. Then you activate this selected version with your feelings. The more intense the feelings, the more powerfully you attract this version, and therefore, the more quickly it manifests as your tangible reality. Positive feelings activate the positive desired versions. Negative feelings activate the negative undesired versions, the dreaded outcomes.
And that's why I try to always keep in mind those markers of blame, complaint, and justification. Because as soon as you find yourself in either blame, complaint, or justification of your circumstances, then you kind of get the idea that you're being a victim, and you need to get out of that. Now, your beliefs are the result of what you imagine and then activate with your feelings. The version within the most intensive feelings attached to it is the version that gets activated. And as an analogy, if your computer screen offers you many choices and all you have to do is click on one of them to select it, then your imagination is the total of all the available choices on the screen. Moving the mouse to the desired choice is like focusing your imagination in one particular version. And then clicking on that choice is like using your feelings to activate your selection. There is a common misconception at play here. We are taught that seeing is believing. In other words, what we perceive determines what we believe. Actually, the opposite is true. Believing is seeing. Or in other words, what we believe determines what we perceive. And I think that bears a total repetition here, because this is a common misconception at play in life, part of the fake world. We're taught that seeing is believing. But in other words, what we perceive determines what we believe. But actually, the opposite is true. Believing is seeing. Or in other words, what we believe determines what we perceive. This is how the process works. And you might want to take some notes on this part. That first, your beliefs determine the reality that you perceive. Your beliefs determine your perception of reality. You then immediately, automatically, and usually unconsciously interpret your perception of reality. And that is your arbitrarily, that is what you do is you arbitrarily assign, project, and superimpose an interpretation into your perception of reality. You then emotionally react to your interpretation of that reality, and you then have thoughts about this reality. Then, based on your emotions and thoughts, you take action. I'm going to repeat that process because, to me, this is key to this whole concept of reality creation. That first, your beliefs determine the reality that you perceive. Your beliefs determine your perception of reality. You then immediately, automatically, and usually unconsciously interpret your perception of reality. That is, that you arbitrarily assign, project, and superimpose an interpretation onto your perception of reality. You then emotionally react to your interpretation of that reality. You then have thoughts about this reality, and then based on your emotions and thoughts, you take action. When you're watching television and the current program displeases you, you do not try to change or transform that program. Instead, you simply choose another program that you do prefer. Likewise, if the reality you are experiencing displeases you, you do not need to change or transform that reality. You only need to choose another version of reality to receive by synchronizing your vibration with the version of reality you do prefer to experience. It already exists. All you have to do is receive it. You select the channel you are watching in life. To change the outside, change the inside. To be technically accurate, people do not really create their reality. They select it and allow it in. So actually, really, reality creation is not really reality creation. It's reality selection and allowing it to happen, or making yourself a frequency match for what you want to experience. All possible versions of reality already exist, and when they say God is infinite, they're not kidding. Like, you don't have to create the version of reality you wish to experience. It already exists. It's happening right now on some other parallel reality track. All you have to do is select it and let it in. This is a more clear interpretation
of what I mentioned earlier in this program about being more emotionally aligned as a starting point, as opposed to the old methods of action-based approaches to achieving our goals. And if you listen to a couple of programs ago, we mentioned channeling by Archangel Michael. And basically, he was talking about why a lot of the systems aren't working now. Like, a lot of the old methods aren't working because we're in a new frequency vibration. And things need to be more emotionally based in order to work, more in alignment with our excitement, more in alignment with our passions, as opposed to the kind of the old method of action-based first. So there are also three phases for receiving the version of reality you prefer. And the first would be to see it, like mentally, like visualize it. Imagine it, daydream it, visualize it clearly. You don't need to visualize it for a long time. A short time is sufficient, but you need to visualize it clearly. You need to have a solid, clear picture. Visualizing creates the blueprint to see it in great detail. And thus, you become an efficient mental antenna to receive this version of reality. Next, you want to feel it. You want to get excited and passionate about it. And how would you feel if you had it now and feel that now and plug into your vision with all your emotions and all your senses as if you had it now and involve all your senses. Imagine smelling it, touching it, tasting it, and use all your senses, and thus you become an efficient emotional antenna to receive this version of reality. And the third phase would be then to be it. That's the physical part. The physical action, like do it, to ground the experience. Do actions that most clearly mimic the actions you see yourself doing in your vision. Gather and use whatever props that mimic that scenario and do a dry run. Doing this make-believe physical action trains the body consciousness, and this makes it real for you now, so the universe then delivers it to you. The physical action does not directly cause this desired reality to manifest. Instead, this physical action creates a more precise vibration in yourself, making you a better antenna to receive it by you becoming more aligned to the same vibration. Thus, you become an efficient physical antenna to receive this version of reality. Like when you pray for something, you do not need to pray to get something you do not already have, since it's already right there in front of you. Instead, you're actually praying to be able to see that you actually already have it. Because when you can see that you already have it, then your vibration frequency matches the vibration of that which you desire. And once your frequency match with it, that which you desire, then it has to manifest in your reality. Now, if you want a physical demonstration of this, I suggest you go on your internet after the show and research Greg Braden, Braden, and check out his Curing Cancer in 3-Minute video. And basically, this is where he's over in Beijing, China, with a team of practitioners that utilize this method of creating a heart-brain resonant sequence, frequency and resonance, which is established through gratitude, and then through the becoming a frequency match, which in the now, as if it's already happened, is how they go about curing the patient. And everything is energy, and you cannot help but then get that reality, because that's the physics of how the universe works. And when you see this really amazing video, you're going to get the idea that this is how the universe works. And when you match frequencies with what you desire, you will then see that it has always been right there just waiting for you to notice it and start enjoying it. Remember, the physical mind is not designed to know how something will manifest or what it will look like when it does manifest, but you can see it and use it to decide what you want. Like, your visualization is simply a symbolic representation of a state of being whose purpose is to generate excitement within you, but it may not manifest in the form you're visualizing. So
Bashar actually suggests some steps here, that you create the most vivid visualization of what you want that you can, and you get really excited about it. In step two, you give that visualization and that excitement and that state of being to your higher mind. And then in step three, you totally let go of any need that it manifests in the form you were visualizing, but you do hold on to that excited state of being associated with that visualization. The higher mind does understand how, and understands the how, and that's the important part, and how it can come into manifestation. And your higher mind can produce a manifestation that is far greater than what the human mind can ever imagine, and by a long shot. So this is much of that information is from Bashar. Now, in conjunction with that, there's a really interesting website. It's called the Creative Camelot Club, and it's actually was set up by Merlin and Marilyn the Magician. And it so coincides with what's been previously mentioned on the show that I wanted to share a message from Merlin. And this is from Merlin. It says, "If I were to tell you that you could live the life of your dreams, would you say it's a come online? That there's got to be a gimmick or a catch, or it's a scam, or nothing comes to you without hard work? Yeah, right. Are you out of your mind, or it's too good to be true, and give a million other reasons why you could not believe this to be true? Well, it is true. And perhaps you have been asking, like I did, what's the purpose of this life experience? Why do I have things I don't want, or don't have the things I want? Well, for starters, when you say you don't have something, you are sending a signal that says to the universe that you don't have it. And what you say is so very powerfully true, and it comes true, even though it may not be your truth. I'm not talking philosophy here, friends. I'm talking about simple physics. What goes up must come down, and what goes out must come back. You see, what you see in your mind creates feelings, and those feelings send an emotional frequency signal. That signal goes out through you and magnetically pulls it to you, things that match your signal, and because of the most powerful law in the universe, the law of attraction. And what you put out through the thoughts, you think echoes and reverberates back to the sender, and much like a radio signal. Your mind is literally a transmitting and receiving mechanism. You can only receive the frequency that you are tuned into by the law of attraction. When you are tuned into a thought, you emit a signal or frequency, and that is what you receive as experience, just like a radio signal. Remember, it all starts within as a broadcasting signal sent out from within you and then returns to you, the sender. When we don't like a song on the radio, we change the station without even thinking about it twice. But when it comes to our thoughts, we often leave them right where they are, even though they are not sweet music to our ears. Why do we do that? Simply because we have done it so many times before that we automatically tap into those thoughts without even knowing it. That is why we don't receive what we want, because it defies the laws of physics to receive anything other than where we set the dial. You can want a certain situation for an eternity, but you simply cannot receive it until you tune into it. It is crazy-making to do otherwise. You do not receive things so that you can feel. Don't you receive things so that you can feel good? Well, the thing is, you have to feel good so that you can receive things. It doesn't happen the other way around, although most people want things to come to them so they can be happier. In order for things to come to you that make you feel happy, you must first find the feeling of happiness by imagining that you already have these things. This is why we get so frustrated in life, completely understandably. With a little practice, you can tune into thoughts that are sweet music to your ears and begin to see a world of wonder and magic unfold. And this is Merlin, and he's saying, what I'm proposing to you is to change or switch the station that is broadcasting in your mind if it does not make you feel fine. When you do this, you will begin to see more of your dreams and desires come true. Life is a creative and co-creative adventure,
let us play. I just love that message from Merlin. And by the way, in conjunction with all those concepts that we talked about regarding the three types of reality creation, one being your basic thoughts and beliefs, second, positive spin, and third, intentional manifestation. What you'll realize as you go through each of these stages is that you become more and more self-empowered, which is the whole idea of ET Yoga. ET Yoga was designed to present some of the best ideas from the yogic masters, two of my teachers, Swami Satchidananda and Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda. Some of these great yogic masters had some fabulous ideas, and what I've tried to do is connect their ideas with the best of extraterrestrial channeled information over the last 30 years or so. And obviously the whole intent of the ET Yoga program is to help you become more self-empowered. And when you start utilizing some of these concepts, when you become more self-empowered, what you realize that it spills over into the whole area of healing. And that's why my website at etyoga.com is called Healing the Known and the Unknown, because what you realize is that all disease is emotional dysfunction, and it's all emotional dysfunction based on erroneous thinking. It's all based on judging neutral circumstances as negative. And that's the heart of the issue. In fact, there's a free download at etyoga.com. It's called The Root Cause of Disease. You might want to check that one out. I should also say that, as usual in ET Yoga, I wish everyone the best in their creative endeavors. And as I said before, please contact me should you find useful techniques that you heard on the show. And I always like to wish everyone my best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And what's become traditional now at the closing of the ET Yoga program is going to be the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation that was originated by Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be, stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back, all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. and faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.